Welcome back to Creative Therapy Umbrella. This is a place where we talk about all different types of creative arts therapy, expressive therapy, and creative approaches to therapy. My name is Kate Shannon, and I am your host for today. I am very pumped about today's episode because art therapist Yoo Jung Sung is joining us today for this episode, and she is a board-certified art therapist, business coach, artist, and content creator for the YouTube channel and podcast Thirsty for Art. There's links to that in our show notes. I absolutely love her YouTube channel and find it such a helpful place for myself to go as a therapist, and there's so many things she has, and her videos are just so beautiful. But she helps women all over the world who want to understand themselves more, express their emotions on a deeper level. And she's also passionate about helping other therapists and creative healers build profitable online businesses through social media, working on their own terms, which is just so, so awesome. And in this episode, she tells us about her online practice and her new shift into creating art therapists with their own online business. Through COVID, Yoo Jung was already doing this with her online practice, and now that many people have had to shift to an online practice, she's been able to support other therapists in creating successful online platforms for therapy. And one of the really amazing things about this episode is she tells us about what led to the creation of her online business, Thirsty for Art, and it was burnout. And the way that she says that burnout, really, it's the gift of burnout. And I just resonated with this so much. And hearing her story of burnout, of a couple burnouts, and the message behind how burnout can really help us and propel us forward into new beginnings is so powerful, I think, for any therapist to hear, because burnout is something, especially now, that we as therapists have to be very cognizant and aware of. But I love Yoo Jung's perspective on how we can take burnout and how that experience can actually tell us really important information about ourselves. So take a listen and enjoy the episode. All right, Yoo Jung, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me. Thank you, Kate.
Absolutely. I am really pumped to dive in today. We have a lot of really exciting and important topics to get into. So thank you for making the time and coming on and sharing with us.
I'm excited to share.
Yeah, awesome. Well, for our listeners, can you tell us a little bit about what you do currently with your practice?
Sure. So I run my own business called Thirsty for Art. And within my business in Thirsty for Art, I do two big things. So the first thing is I offer therapeutic art services for people, usually adults, who want to use art as a way to express themselves, understand themselves, and work on inner healing. And the second part of my business is I offer business coaching for creative arts therapists and creative healers, so they can actually start and create an online business through social media. So I have these like very different two things within my own business.
Yes. How did you kind of find your path to those two things? Did it come about naturally, or what was the progression of that like?
It's actually very interesting progression. So I started Thirsty for Art just as a YouTube channel, actually. And I started that because I just wanted to share about art therapy with people online. I noticed that there is not a lot of information about art therapy on the internet. And you know, a lot of people don't have a very clear idea what art therapy is. And what that feels like, what that is, who our therapists are, you know? So I was like, oh, let's go online to like share what I know and to really advocate for my field and really just share information and educate people on art therapy. So I went there and started creating, you know, YouTube videos, and I share a lot of like tips, activities, ideas that people can do. And one of the reasons why I did that was because I wanted to just kind of show people that there are other ways to make art other than making a perfect picture. So I wanted people to like open their minds about how art can be a therapeutic tool to express their thoughts and feelings. So that was kind of like my big mission behind my YouTube channel. And I have also had a little side goal, which was a business. So I had, I thought of like actually building a business off online. That's 100% based online, where I would actually get clients through YouTube or other social media. So that's also one of my reasons that I started YouTube. And so after that YouTube thing happened, I've gained like audience, and I actually started an art therapy business where I offer services to people. And then I really recently started offering business coaching, because a lot of people have been asking like, how did you actually create 100% online art therapy business, and how do you actually use social media to do that? So so recently I've actually tacked that on to my services that I provided within Thirsty for Art. So that's kind of been my path. It's kind of organic in a way. Not much was like planned far out. I was just like, let's do this because it feels good, it has a good mission, and then it just kind of evolved from there.
Oh, that's wonderful. And how amazing, like, you know, you said that you initially you wanted to create this online business, and now with the shift in our world, so many people need guidance on that, and you already have it, you know, and now it's something secondary that you can now offer.
Yeah, it's funny because before the pandemic happened and COVID happened, I was doing like 100% online, you know, art therapy services and having a 100% online business. And funny how things have kind of unraveled, and now people are really like, you know, turning their attention towards online stuff. And we do need a lot of guidance and information on how to actually go about doing this, because this is really new for a lot of us.
Yes, there. It's so, I feel like so many of us are just traversing land that we've never even thought about going into. And I'm curious for you too, if you've found the online format, I think before we all had to move to that before the pandemic, there was kind of this like, oh, it's not as therapeutic, or it won't help. And I think that has changed a lot since now that we're doing it. But can you tell us maybe some of the intricacies of creating a therapeutic space online and doing that through an online format?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that a lot of us have this idea that, you know, online sessions can be very limiting. And I think that is true. You know, it's not the same thing as an in-person, you know, session where you can see the client, you know, with your eyes and really feel the energy and just, you know, be there on, you know, in person. That's a very different experience. But I think that if you just keep that in mind, like there are some things that you just have to accept as limitations and just work around those things, I think that you can really make the sessions very worthwhile and valuable, and even life-changing for the clients. I think that with the online format, it's the fact that you can reach a client who's on the other part of the world, and you're not like limited to your physical area. I think that's one of the advantages about online services. And that's why I actually like went into online stuff too in the beginning. And I think that once you actually, you know, dip your toe in it and you learn how this format works, and just kind of make sure that the session itself, the way you structure it, is really catering to the client and to the therapeutic goal, I think when you do that, it becomes really effective, I think. And a lot of people, when I do encourage people to actually try out online sessions and they actually do it, they have a lot of like limiting beliefs about online sessions. And then when they actually experience it themselves and see the client's responses, they're like, oh, this actually works. So I find that it's interesting how we, how actually just doing it, we learn a lot and we just kind of grow from there, you know?
Yes, yes. I totally had limiting beliefs, I think, before doing online platforms, especially with music. I was like, how can we make music? There's time lags, there's all these different things. But now doing it, it really is so effective, and it feels like something we could have really potentially missed for, you know, I think of like you were saying, we can reach people on the other side of the world or in rural areas who may not have access to, you know, different therapists where they are. And that's just such a wonderful support.
Yeah, that's definitely for sure. And one thing I just wanted to add is like a lot of the clients that do come to me are first timers. Like it's their first time actually like experiencing something like this, like therapeutic art making, things like that. And, you know, every time I, you know, see a client and meet with them and I hear that, it's like, wow, I might not have really worked with this client if I didn't offer this online. So it's kind of crazy for me when I actually realize how much impact that I can make through offering these things online.
That's amazing. That's really, really interesting that there's so many first timers online. And I guess it makes me wonder if there's like a deeper sense of safety when you're trying something from maybe your own home. And then, you know, maybe that changes or, you know, but you can, like you said earlier, you're dipping your toes in it, but also that's for the client as well.
Yeah, I think so. There's something very kind of comforting about just doing the session in your own room, possibly in your pajamas, and with just your own art materials. I think there's a kind of approachable aspect to doing these online sessions for sure.
Yeah, and that makes me really curious about people who have any type of social anxiety or a difficult time, you know, getting out, and, you know, those types of anxieties, that this is a really accessible way for them to have the services, but in the comfort of their own home.
Yeah, sure.
So can you tell us a little bit about how you use art to support adults?
Yes, for sure. So in my sessions and in my services, I mainly use a lot of drawing and actually painting. So basically art making to help adults tap into their right brain. So that's like tapping into their intuition, tapping into their subconscious, really tapping into nonverbal communication and, you know, one's visual and spatial abilities, things like that. And also, of course, their creative abilities to help them express themselves, express their feelings and thoughts on paper. So I help people with no previous skills or no previous experience in art making. It's really beginner friendly, and we basically draw and paint, and we actually use art to learn a lot about the client's feelings and their thoughts through the artwork that they make. So we really dive deep into what they created, what's in the art, and how they created it. We use the artwork to also problem solve a lot of things. We find new perspective on solutions and actually really change how they feel inside. And we make changes in their lives through the art because art accesses their subconscious, like their memories, their beliefs, and it really taps into our mind and body. So when we make changes in our art, on that level, it means that that can influence the rest of our life, like the different aspects that we have in life, relationships, you know, whether that's self-relationship as well, work, you know, everything really.
Yes, that's awesome. And I love that you there's the connection of mind and body in the process of it's such a holistic process. I wonder if you could, I want to say if you can paint us a picture of what this would look like, if you could like give us an example of, you know, maybe like a particular medium and what that might look like for somebody who might be having a hard time imagining how that unrolls or unravels in a session.
Yeah, I can definitely paint a picture. So when I go into a session with a client, I usually offer a very specific program or package of sessions that's designed to discover or understand the person's feelings and thoughts and the meanings in their life. So within a session, let's say for that program, we might, you know, just do a really quick check-in, see how they're doing. And then we'll use the specific art materials that I, you know, mentioned beforehand to create an artwork. So I'll kind of explain what they'll create, the idea behind it, how they can create it. Sometimes I do really give out like very step-by-step instructions. I think especially in the beginning, I do that. And this is just to help the client have a lot of structure and feel like they can express themselves more freely on paper. So I provide that guidance. I explain an exercise or activity or a specific thing that they can create. Let's say a mandala, just to give an example. We'll create the mandala, and I'll make sure that the client feels like they have a direction or feel like they can do this. And that's kind of process. That's a little bit of a process of talking too. And so after the art making, and usually the art making itself is quite silent. I try not to talk or intrude in any way while the client is creating. I do want them to really just focus on the art making itself. So after the art, we'll kind of process the artwork together. So like, how was the process of making the mandala? What do you see in them? What kind of feeling do you get? And maybe we'll talk about how that relates to what they're dealing with in their life and see the parallels. We might talk in metaphors, of course. That's the beauty of art. And then that's how we kind of really just process things and really find what the client need to find in their artwork. And yeah, I find that we do come up with a lot of insights from this process of talking as well. And then at the end, we kind of check in with each other again, see how the client is doing, and go over logistics about next session, things like that. So that's kind of the overview of a sample session, I would say.
Yeah, that's so I love hearing the balance of like silence, talking, and then art making. You know, that there's these it's such an interesting balance to have, and that's got to be really interesting as a therapist too. I never really thought about that until you mentioned it, of how much silence there is with art making. Do you ever find that hard or challenging to stay in silence, or does it feel really natural because of the art making process itself?
That's a really wonderful question, because I feel like just the art making itself allows the silence to feel very comfortable and natural, I think. I do feel like in the beginning as an art therapist, you do notice that there's a lot of silence in sessions, and then sometimes that is not, you know, not common, right, in our life. We don't have a lot of silences, right? So it's kind of jarring to actually hold that silence as an art therapist, especially in the beginning of our career. But I think that we do just get used to it. We actually like favor that silence.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
And actually, silence is not no noise, you know? It's really filled with a lot of things. It's really filled with nonverbal communication and visual communication, and just really reading the energy of the client and really witnessing the process of the whole art making thing. So the silence is quite loaded in a way.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. It's so funny because it's so juxtaposition to a music therapist where like our sessions are almost always filled with music. And when silence happens, it's very powerful, but it tends to be short. And sometimes there's longer silences, but you know, with music, it's part of that music making. But I'm really curious about like that visual communication. And an image that just popped in my mind of is, you know, someone creating something and then taking like a big sigh. What would you do with that information? Or would you use that to follow up with a question later? Or is that, I guess that kind of data, how do you synthesize that data in that silence?
Yeah, I think that it depends on the situation. So sometimes it is wise to actually bring up something that I noticed during the art making itself and really actually break the silence, if the situation warrants that. But then most of the time, I would just kind of keep that in my mind, you know, note that in my mind and actually notice everything else that happened around that instant, right? Like how the client's facial expression, their mood, their energy, what they're actually creating at that moment on the paper or whatever surface they're working on. So I note all these things. And then oftentimes I do mention it during the process, actually, because I think that when you do mention that, it gives the client time to actually reflect on how they feel. It's very validating, I would say. And as a part of a kind of a mirroring process, I would say as well. So it actually connects almost always to the art and to what they're feeling at that moment. So it feels very natural to just kind of bring that up during the process. Yeah. So that's kind of what I do.
Yeah. And when you're in the moment feeling that thing, then you can really be with that when you're mentioning it or reflecting that in the client.
Yes, that's definitely. Yeah, that's what happens.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, that's amazing. I'm so glad we touched on silence, that it's such a powerful tool in therapy, the space and the silence. And it's always really interesting how it comes up in so many different situations.
Yeah, I think it's a really crucial part of holding the space for the client. Yeah, I think there's a lot of things that can happen within silence. Yeah.
Yeah, so much, but anything can happen in silence. So much potential. Mm-hmm. So since you use art to support adults, for therapists, a lot of what you do, you have a lot of self-care that is in what you do. How can therapists use art? And I'm really curious about this too, especially as a music therapist, but I actually prefer to do self-care things that are art-based. But how can therapists utilize art for themselves as a self-care tool?
So I have a lot of things in my mind, but I really recommend... I do recommend that if you're not used to making art or using art as a way to do self-care, I recommend that you just start choosing whatever art materials you're attracted to and experiment with it. So I feel like a lot of times we do get blocked by the idea of quote-unquote creating art. If you just kind of rephrase that and just see it as experimenting with art, I think it will be really kind of a easy, approachable way to actually use art as a way to do self-care. So if you are a therapist out there and you feel like you really want to use art for self-care, then I would really encourage you to just choose a material that you like and just go ahead with it. Do whatever you feel like you want to do. Don't think about results or what it should look like. Just kind of focus on the process. Focus on the colors that come up. Focus on the textures that you see. So for example, to give you really concrete examples, you can maybe use watercolor paint to cover a piece of watercolor paper just with one color and see how that goes. You can maybe create magazine collages, because collages are really easy. You just cut up pictures from magazines and just paste them on paper. And maybe you can use also clay if that's your thing, and just experiment with clay and see how that feels like in your hands. Experience the sensations, just really focusing on the sensations, the process of it, and not really caring about what comes out at the end. And if you do want to have a sort of a structure and step-by-step thing, then you can watch my YouTube videos.
They're amazing.
Or read the quotes on my blog. The YouTube videos that I do share really go in depth on the step-by-steps on what you can do. So if you need that kind of structure, you can use that. But the other thing that I want to mention was that if you are at a point where it's comfortable for you in terms of making art, and you're like, okay, I can just, you grab a pencil and just start creating, or I can just grab a clay and just start creating. When you're at that point, you can use art to do self-care that's directly related to your work. So that means that you can try and do something called response art. And this is something that actually art therapists do themselves within their work oftentimes. But the idea of a response art is that you're just making art you're just making art as a response to your session with a client. So during a session or even afterwards, you can create an artwork that reflects how you feel or what kind of energy you got from that session. What did you see or, get, in terms of information from that client? So anything that you got from that session with the client, you just kind of put it onto a visual form. And this can really be very deep. It's very helpful for therapists to learn about their clients through the process of learning their reactions, your own reactions to clients. So it's it gives you a lot of information, and it's very helpful for you to process things too, and definitely helpful for you planning future sessions as well, because you learn so much about what went on in the session. So I do recommend that, but it can get deep. So I just want to mention, if you're trying this, just to do some self-care, it's totally fine. But if you really want to go deep, I do think it would be great if you do it with supervision from art therapist. But it's one thing that you can take advantage of if you feel ready and comfortable with making art as a form of self-care, and really use that as a tool to get better in your sessions too,
Yeah, and the idea of processing difficult or exciting or whatever emotions arise in a session, or all of the feelings, because sometimes it's all over, and processing those in a nonverbal way, through art for yourself, just feels like it could, it has so much healing potential. But at the same time, I'm so glad that you mentioned too that having support, because the first thing I thought of, I work with children in palliative care, and sometimes there's just the grief that comes up in sessions, and it is, you know, incredibly heavy to hold. And then it's also incredibly hard to process afterwards in a way that is self-care and doesn't kind of go off the, you know, can easily go off the rails if it's, you know, if you don't have that support for yourself. So I'm so glad that you mentioned that too, because that feels like it's like a, you know, you can start here, and then when you feel comfortable, you're here. But then when you want to go really deep, then, you know, reach out to art therapist or supervisor, and then you can even go into those deeper places with support.
Yeah, for sure. It's, you know, depending on the clients and the population, the and the place that you're working in, you know, we have to hold a lot of things for the clients, right? And it can definitely be challenging to process that verbally alone. So I find that, like, if I reflect on my training and all the work that I've done and where I was able to see an art therapist supervisor, you know, this response art and making art to process what came up during the session was so powerful. So, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. I love that. And the encouragement, I think, for... I think as creative arts therapists, we're all probably all too familiar of the stance of, I can't do that creative medium. I'm not, you know, I'm not an artist. I only do music, or I only dance, and I, you know, I can't do that thing. But like that being a beginner and experimenting and being playful, you know, and taking kind of the intensity out of it is such a nice perspective. And sometimes I think really nice for creative arts therapists to get into again, because our clients feel that way a lot. So being able to do that for ourselves too.
Yeah, it's so funny how you mentioned that, because, you know, this is exactly the thing that we show our clients, right? I bet as a music therapist, you've experienced this where a client says, oh, I can't make that music, or I can't do this, right? And the same thing for art therapists. I can't paint, or I can't draw. And I think it's funny how we also have that kind of belief when it comes to other mediums, you know? And then we just need to apply our own kind of therapist approach to ourselves when we are doing this, you know, expanding our horizons and, you know, trying new things.
Yes, I feel like that would be such a helpful thing to have to do in like a, you know, a master's program or something, of like, okay, go experience an art that you're not familiar with, because there's so many feelings in that, and it's a weird experience. And I do feel like we could draw on so much of that, of being in that space again, and apply it to our work of like, oh, I totally know how that feels. I cannot dance at all, but I will I will try this thing because I know that it can help me in my creative modality therapy.
Yeah, that's for sure.
yes. Oh man, I love that. Yeah, I do feel, you know, art is and all the creative arts, you know, we have that a nonverbal ability to process or process through different ways. And it's exciting to think of how accessible art is for everybody, you know, some colored pencils, a pen, and to be able to utilize that in such a supportive way for ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It can be really easy to approach and also very powerful to use, for sure.
Mm-hmm. And along this vein of self-care, something I found really interesting from watching your YouTube videos, which, by the way, for listeners, there will be links in the show notes to your YouTube channel and podcast and everything. But the idea of, you know, you have your online practice and starting your practice, and how creating that and moving towards that is almost a self-care journey in itself. Can you tell us a little bit about that and about creating a practice that is really geared towards your own strengths?
Yeah, I think this is so crucial to talk about for us, you know, in this field. You know, I had this idea that, oh, our therapist should do this, should do that, or I should have a full-time job, or I should have a stable income, be employed by other people, or work 40 hours a week, or yada, 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 you know, all these things that that we kind of expect from ourselves. And the funny thing is, yeah, in my videos and also in my podcast episodes, I share that I crashed from doing this for a long time. You know, I was kind of ignoring the signs for my body and also my kind of inner yearning to pave my own path and actually do things on my own terms and do it differently from everybody else. And, you know, I reached that point and I realized I just need to stop doing what I think I should be doing, but actually go for what I really want and really listen to that inner voice that I have and listen to my body. So one of the reasons that I actually started my own business was because I wanted to have flexibility in terms of schedule, flexibility in terms of income, flexibility in terms of the clients that I see, flexibility in almost everything. I mean, actually, in where I actually do the sessions too, like, you know, and so I realized that I can give myself permission to go for these things. I can actually take care of my body and put it as a priority and fit everything else around that, fit my work around that. You know, when I did transition into owning my own business, what happened was my body and myself came first. That's the self-care part, right? And then everything else kind of was secondary, that all these other things should fit that priority, which was honoring my body, honoring my own desires and wishes. So, like, if there is anybody who's, you know, listening to this, I really want to just kind of share that, you know, you can definitely give yourself permission to do the thing that you want, do the thing that really will honor your body and your mind and what you really want in life. And if the situation that you're in, especially like work situation you're in, is not honoring that, I think it's really a good time for you to like think through what's really working for me, what's really not, and give yourself permission to go for what you really want. I think that's a really big self-care thing that a lot of us actually miss when we're just in the trenches and doing the work. A lot of us feel burnt out too. So this is something I feel like is important to talk about. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And even like you had said, I've had similar experiences. Like, I think even just recognizing the burnout in itself took so long. Mm-hmm. Just recognizing the burnout was like, whoa, my body is not feeling right. And like, I just don't feel like I'm doing these things. What's happening? And that in itself is a huge process, I feel like, to even get there. And I'm curious what you would say to listeners who maybe are starting to recognize that in themselves. What were some things maybe that helped you through that process to coming to those realizations and all those different things?
Yeah, I can really feel and taste that, how that feels in that
yes.
situation where you
yes.
recognize you are burnt out, you know, and that's a huge step. As you said, it's really hard to get to that point of just actually recognizing that you're in that kind of state and you're feeling that way. But once you're in that place of recognition, I think that we can really feel very powerless. Like we've kind of lost control of things, and we've just been swept away by a lot of the external circumstances and situations. And yeah, it's really easy to feel powerless. And I think that I just want to remind people who are in that state and in that place that you are powerful, and in the decisions that you make at that point will shape your future, like will make differences and changes in your situation for sure. So do not feel too hopeless. There is hope, and you can make changes. You can make very small decisions even to take care of yourself, even if it's not radical, like someone who would just like leave their job suddenly because they're burnt out. Even if it's not radical like that, you can make small changes, and that will honor your body and honor your mind and honor yourself. So I think when you do notice that you are in a state of burnout, just recognize that you have the power to make decisions from this point on. You can make changes for sure.
That is like such a beautiful example. I think for me too, I've felt that like, oh, I need to make a radical change. Like it always feels like if you're burnt out, it's like you just need to make this big radical change. But there's so much power in the small decisions too.
Yeah. When you're at that point of burnout, it's like you're just done with it, right? Like you're just tired and fed up, right? And of burnout, it's like you feel very like apathetic about things around you, and you're just like, no, I don't want to do this anymore, right? And so so we tend to want to just make this radical change just to like erase everything, just like start over even, but I think that it does require our patience a little bit and some kind of even self-compassion to just give ourselves some time to reflect and make small changes as we go, because you know radical changes they can't happen overnight for sure. So it's just I think that radical changes are what that means is just kind of accumulation or combination of these small decisions. I think that's what it is. So and it's easier to make small decisions too, so
yes, those little decisions of those little changes, and they do really add up so fast when and I think you mentioned this earlier too, that the decisions that you do make in that space, even though they're small, perpetuate and they grow, and that's what moves you forward in that success too.
Yeah, and you'll notice that when you do make that small decision and small change, it's like, oh, it's doable. You feel better, mm-hmm. and you go forward the next big thing or the next step, small step. And, you know, as you go step by step, you know, you see you're in a better place, and you can make the wise decision that you want to make, you know. And you notice that you are powerful. You feel more confident in that way.
Yes, you can take that back a little bit, those little things. Mm-hmm. Yes. So did Thirsty for Art really kind of come from your burnout place? Is that where that progression took you?
Kind of, yeah. So I've experienced several burnouts actually throughout my work, being employed at different places. And the thing is, I realized, you know, the gift of burnout is that you realize what you really want, right? If you feel burnout, you notice that this is not what I want. The current situation is not what I want. So I've learned really like what fits me, what doesn't fit me, what I like, what I don't like. And it just kind of gradually and naturally shaped my desire to build this own, my own thing, which is Thirsty for Art. And so I'm really grateful for my burnouts. Yeah, to be honest, I'm really grateful that I felt that. Of course, it's hard, you know, to feel that. And of course, I feel bad that my body had to go through that, you know, to physically feel all that stress and that pressure. But you know, I'm glad that I felt that. And I learned that what I truly want is something different. So, you know, it was a natural progression, but burnout was a big part of my journey into building my own business.
Yes. It's so wonderful that you like flipped the perspective on it. And the gift of burnout is there's so much to learn from that space. It's painful and it is really hard, but I feel the same way. I would never change it. I would never not want to experience it in as weird as that does sound, because so much does come from it.
Oh my gosh, that's so true. Yeah, if I like turned the clock and went back in time, I would still feel that. Yeah. I would still go through that, because, you know, experience is the best teacher in life, actually. You know, people can say yes, this and that and say, oh, this is better, that is better, but until you experience it, you don't know. You don't know what's good for you, right? Yes.
No. Yeah. I feel like before you experience it, it's like you have all of the options, and then you experience some of it and a corner here and a corner there. And, you know, that burnout really is just an intense of like, okay, I can't do this thing anymore.
Yeah.
Like now I have a smaller amount to choose from, or I have a better idea. I can focus. And it really does feel like it carves a path out of, you know, maybe not as clear of a path. It just helps you pave that path in a way.
Yeah, so true. I think it's just the best teacher, you know, burnout is the best teacher for learning who you really are, actually. I think, you know, my journey of going from being employed and doing all these types of jobs and starting my own business was really about just learning about myself. I learned that there is no wrong answer. There is nothing bad about doing things differently or doing things my own way. It's just, this is just me, and I'm just going to listen to who I really am, you know, and we yes, are built differently. Each one of us are just different, unique human beings, and we cannot always follow the same path and feel happy, you know? So, yeah.
Yes. Yes. I'm so thankful that we touched on this topic, and that I think burnout kind of has this, it's, well, obviously it has like a negative, you know, because it's not fun. Nobody wants to go through it, but there is so much positive on the other side, you know, it's moving through to that other side. And it's just so nice to hear your experience of, like you said, the gift of burnout and what it did for you.
Yeah, I think that a lot of us who do experience burnout, and I know probably majority of us do experience it, we want to just like run away from it. We want to just like resist it and, yes, you know, not deal with it sometimes, you know, because it can be overwhelming to actually deal with the negative feelings that come up with burnout. I think we do have that tendency, but there's a lot of things that are precious and really important for us to learn when we do get just really dive deep into who we are when we are in this burnout state. So yeah, I don't want us to miss that opportunity. Just see yes, burnout as an opportunity, you know?
Yes, absolutely. It is an opportunity. Yes. A hard one, but it's a good one.
Ah, so true.
Yes. So now you've gotten to this place too with where your business is, that now you're able to offer, you're really able to kind of help other people through their own business creation and supporting them with with what they'd like to do, correct?
Yes, definitely. I think I really like supporting people who do want to venture online and do things mm-hmm. differently from what's really expected of creative arts therapists.
Yes, yes. That is awesome. And what a, I love how full circle that is, you know, of like you've found and you paved your own path through burnout and have created, you know, Thirsty for Art. And now it's kind of coming back to help other people walk along their own journey of doing something similar like that for themselves and for what their particular needs are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a full circle.
Yes. I love when stuff happens like that.
It's amazing. I know. It was all like meant to be. I feel like it's just all meant to yeah. be, you know?
Which is, yeah. that's the stuff that I feel like is from burnout, is it's mm-hmm. like once, I don't know if you felt this way, but I feel like once I moved through my burnout, all of these meant to be happening things just kept happening. Mm-hmm. I was like, this is like a much higher rate than it's ever happened before. What's going on? Mm-hmm. But I do think there's something so powerful in following your calling, your purpose, you know, finding that true space, and things just really align well there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, as we start to wrap up, I would love, could you tell our listeners where is the best place to find you, to follow you, to get a hold of you if they want to you seek out your services and your guidance? Can you let us know where to find you?
Yeah, of course. So my main website is thirstyforart.com, and you know, that's where you can see like all my services and the support and guidance that I offer for adults and also for creative arts therapists. I'm really active on Instagram these days. So my handle is thirstyforartofficial. So, you know, follow me, DM me, comment on my posts, let me know how things are going. And also, of course, I have my YouTube channel where I'm pretty... where I uploaded a lot of art therapy videos and activities, tips, guidances. And also I have a podcast as well. I noticed that I do
yes.
a lot of things, but my podcast is Thirsty for Art as well. Yeah.
I am the same. We're cut from the same cloth. I love to do a lot of different things.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I know, right?
I love it. Well, I will make sure, yes, for our listeners, I'll make sure all of those links are also in the show notes. So if anybody can just go and click on those, and so much to check out. And I love that you have, you know, having the YouTube and the podcast of like, you know, for visual aspects or for auditory, different kinds of things. There's like options for everybody, which is so wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Awesome. Well, this has been so, so amazing. I just want to thank you again for coming on and sharing your passions and telling us a little bit about what you do. And this was just lovely. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much, Kate, for having me. It was, you know, awesome just sharing with you and connecting with you and also connecting with all the listeners out there. But thank you so much for having me today.
Absolutely. You're so welcome. All right. I hope you guys enjoyed that episode. I am just feeling so thankful to hear Yujung's perspective on burnout and her success with her online business and so many of those different things. I think are just so helpful for us to hear right now for other therapists who may be struggling. We've all had to make new shifts, and I think many of us are digging deep for that resilience that we have inside of us. And I know through my personal burnout that new wonderful things have come from that really dark place. And I think the empowerment that comes from looking at burnout as a gift and what does it have to offer is so amazing and so powerful. So I hope that any of you out there who are struggling with burnout, that you, you know, take the time to go through that process. And I hope that you have a good support system and that you have people to lean on. Always know you can reach out here and let us know. And we're a shoulder to lean on for sure during this. And there's a lot of great things happening in our community. I know in the music therapy community, there is a resilient practice CMTE that's coming out in a few weeks through Music Therapy Ed. That's going to be a great place to hear how people have shifted during different things, during the pandemic, during online practice. And know that you're not alone, and know that, you know, through all of the hurt and pain that may be here in the burnout place, that on the other side, there is a gift, and there is something waiting for you. I know that to be true through my own experience, and it doesn't take away how hard it is to go through burnout, but I think knowing that there is light on the other side, and there's something, there's an important lesson on the other side about you and what you have to offer, because you have so much. Thinking of you, I'm sending you all the best, the warmest wishes. Feel free to reach out anytime, creativetherapyumbrella@gmail.com. Hop on our newsletter if you want some extra supports, creative ideas, implementation videos, and different things like that. You can do that right on our website. And I am wishing you all the best. Take care and be creative.